Children told me to do earlier. I'm going to tell you some stories of Jesus. How about that? That would be good. Because remember when you had your palm branches and you were waving your palm branches, Jesus was coming into town and everybody was so happy. They're waving palm branches saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Glory to God. Do you know what they said a week later? CJ, do you know what they said a week later when what did they say? Do you know what those?
Crucify him.
That's right. They said crucify him. One week they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Glory to God in the highest. And they were expecting him that maybe he would deliver them, Israel, from the heel of Rome. And things were looking good. They were looking very good. But then as the week went on, things started to look not so good. But Jesus did what he came to do. And today, I'm going to read a little bit from the book of Matthew towards the end. So if you would like to, you can turn to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. Now this is after Jesus has been crucified. God had laid all of our sins on him, like Isaiah 53 says. And this is what happened towards the first day of the week. Now, 28 verse 1, Matthew. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came and to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. And then what the angel says in verse 6, He is not here, he is risen. Lord, thank you that we can be here today, because you are risen. And you granted us that same life, and we thank you for that. And pray that your word would go out today and that you would help us to understand what it means that you are risen from the dead. Amen. Well, in each of the gospel accounts, there's a little bit of a different viewpoint with things that happen. Now, you know, if you put them all together, you get the whole picture. I just wanted to pick this because the point is, he is risen. He is risen. And you might think, well, so what? What does that mean to me? I mean, it's a good story. He rose from the dead. Well, yes, it's a good story, and it has never happened since then, and it never had happened before that time. And even when the women went back to the disciples, and I think it's in the book of Luke, it said, let me just see what my Bible says. It's funny. They told the disciples, and these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. You know, these are his followers. They wouldn't believe, even though he had told them that he was going to rise from the dead. But the point is, what does it mean to us? So Jesus rose from the dead. What does that mean for us as Christians? And I've got seven things that we've been delivered from, and a few things that we have gained by this. And I mean, this is not exhaustive. I just picked a few. I could have done hundreds, but just picked a few. So for us, when Jesus rose from the dead, what is one thing it's done for us? Been delivered from the fear of death. If we could turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. And in verse 14 it says, "Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same." He became a man. "That through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." Were subject to slavery. You know, people, you know, if you went to a party, you know, any party, get together with people, whatever, you know, you never go there and you would never bring up the subject of, "Well, can we talk about your imminent death?" People don't want to talk about that because death is scary. We've never done it before. And, you know, people don't talk about that and they try to keep themselves busy not thinking about that. But we're all headed in that direction. We're all headed in that direction. And, of course, when you're younger, you don't think about it much. As you get older, you tend to think about it more. And then people that we know, you know, they die. But for a Christian, we don't have any fear of death. But we shouldn't have a fear of death. He's risen from the dead. So if he's risen, we will rise. And this is good. This is not some story that has no application. We have no fear of death. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. He's delivered us from a life of no hope. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. "Remember that you were at that time, before we were Christians, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." How many times do we go, you know, those who are older perhaps, more, go to a funeral where the person, we know the person wasn't a Christian. And we just, there's a sense of heaviness because we know there's no hope. We would never see them again. But for a Christian, you know, there's been people in our midst who have died. They're not here anymore. Alex, he's gone. Pat, she's gone. But we'll see them again. There's hope. We'll get to see them again. We're not as those, as it says, having no hope and without God in the world. We have hope because we have the Lord. But we have hope because he rose from the dead. With a promise, if he rose, we will rise. And even in Corinth, in the time of the apostle, there was, if you can imagine, there would be people who Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians 15 who said that there was no resurrection. They were already saying, no, there's no resurrection. How in the world could they say? With all the witnesses and the proofs that were given, there were people at that time who said, no, there's no resurrection. And Paul dealt with it. But like the angel said, he is risen. He is not here. A third thing that the resurrection delivers us from is unbelief. It's unbelief. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you look at the first part of 15, in verse 3. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised up on the third day according to the Scriptures." All of this happened based on the Scriptures. The Scriptures foretold Christ's coming, foretold where he would be born, foretold where he would grow up, foretold that he would die, foretold that he would raise from the dead. This wasn't a surprising thing that happened. It was in the Old Testament. And by him rising from the dead, he just verified what was written in the Old Testament. It's nothing, it shouldn't have been surprising to the disciples. But it was. Remember when he was walking with the two down to Emmaus, what he said, "Slow of heart and to believe all that's written in the prophets." because they were just very slow to pick up, just like we are. We're spiritually slow. And remember when the angel said to Mary, you know, you're going to have a firstborn son and you call his name Jesus. And she said, well, how can these things be? Like, Mary, remember Isaiah 7:14. I guess she must have forgot that, but the Messiah would be born through a virgin. So she forgot that part. But we all have a tendency to be very dull when it comes to spiritual things. We just do. And that's why it's good to keep reading the scripture and fellowshipping, because we just need help. And we have help. We're here. So we can help one another. Okay. Number 4 and 5, things that we have been delivered from by the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. And today, anytime anybody is up here speaking, anytime we're here doing anything we're doing, it's all because of the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, what's the point? And then what's funny to me, there's some churches, I guess you call them liberal churches or whatever, but they don't believe the virgin birth, they don't believe the resurrection. Like, what are you guys doing? It's like when Hezekiah had a major revival. And 100 years later, they come up to Josiah, hey, we found this book of the law in the temple. I'm thinking, what have you guys been doing if you didn't have the book? What are you doing? And same thing today. People who don't believe the gospel, and specifically the resurrection, well, it says that their preaching is vain and their faith is vain. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is not only vain, it's worthless, and you are still in your sins. So if Christ is not raised from the dead, our faith is worthless. What good is it? And, you know, we could never be delivered from our sins if he had not risen from the dead, because his life is eternal. He could not be held by the grave. And we've been going over some different verses today that I'm touching on. But if his life was the same as our life, and he was never risen from the dead, then we would not be raised. But the people, the disciples, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the people at that time knew that there would be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. That's Daniel 12. They knew it. And there's other parts in the Old Testament, but they knew there would be a resurrection. The Sadducees, they were the reasonable ones of their day. They didn't believe in the resurrection or angels. And you wonder how we have an open scripture with, when the Lord died, there were many witnesses. When he rose from the dead, he showed himself to, you know, it wasn't 2 or 3 people. 500 brothers at one time saw him. And there was no, to my knowledge, and I've never heard of any, there was no rebuttals to his resurrection at that time. And the story they circulated, you know, we'll tell the governor that while the Roman, you know, you Roman guards were asleep, that the disciples, you know, they came and took him, his body. Or they said, you tell them that. Well, how would they know if they were asleep? And the disciples were not in a real good frame of mind to even be doing that. So, some things they had to deal with, this problem of him rising from the dead. So they paid the guards off and told them to lie about it. So there's a lot of things that we have been delivered from. This is just brief, very brief. But look at what we have gained, and we've gone over this verse today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is a great verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I want to go into a little bit of what is it? What does this look like? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope. And this isn't a hope like some people say. They might say, I hope I get a raise, or I hope it's nice weather tomorrow. This is a hope, and it's based on something. It's a hope based on, at the end of the verse, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, what does that look like? I mean, in our lives, So, we all go to work and we all do what we do, just like everybody else. So, for me, when I'm at work, how does this affect me in my daily life when I'm going about my business like, you know, we all do? And I just want to suggest a few things, how it does have meaning in our life. And I'm just going to turn over 2 Corinthians for a minute, and in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, I'll read from verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So for Christians, you know, we have problems just like everybody else in the world has problems. We have, you know, a bad knee, bad back, I'm sick, or this, or whatever the case can be. You know, maybe lost my job, whatever it is. But our perspective goes beyond just right here. We're not living for a bigger house, bigger car, bigger TV. We're not living for that stuff. Nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with heaven. But we're looking, we have a light affliction. But it's working for us an eternal weight of glory. And we look at the things which are not seen. We have faith. We've been granted faith. And we believe what God says through his word. And therefore, we have hope, you know, because I know, I've talked to people here, some of your jobs, I wonder, how can you all do the jobs? It's just, forget the job, just getting there is hard enough. But we have a hope. I mean, we have a hope beyond what we see here. So that's how a living hope can look. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Verse 13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, we have the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is raised from the dead, we have the Holy Spirit. And here in this verse, he's called the God of hope. You know, I don't know any other religion where you would characterize their God as a God of hope. Because in every other religion, you're trying hard to live up to the standard and try to make it and hope that whoever that God is would accept you. Well, that's not our God. We've been accepted in the blood. We're accepted. If we have trusted in Christ as our Savior and believe what he's done, we're accepted. We're freed from our sin. So we have, our God can be called the God of all hope, and we can be filled with all joy and peace, and we can abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit we have in our lives, it's that power that raised Christ from the dead. It goes beyond our life. We don't have the proper life. Turn to Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, or those who have died, that you may not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. We touched on this briefly, but we have hope. When someone, you know, when we lose someone, when someone dies, we have hope to see them again. And I always tell the folks in the nursing home, because most of them, not all of them, but most of them, they're in wheelchairs and they're just not looking so good. They're old. Their bodies aren't working. Their minds are there. They're there. And I always tell them, I look forward to seeing you all one day when we're all looking good. Because that day will come. That day will come. He's begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, you know, if we have hope again that we'll see our loved ones, and we'll see ones who have gone on before. When D.L. Moody died, he saw some of the saints that he had known and some children. The Lord sometimes, he opens up heaven and lets people see him, like Stephen. I mean, how cool would that have been? I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and then, of course, he was killed, but what a way to go. I mean, what a way to go. Another thing, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. If we have hoped in Christ only for here, only to be pitied. We look, this isn't our home. Our citizenship, like the Bible says, it is in heaven. We're just passing through here briefly. And we don't hope, it's not only for this life, although it is, but we have the hope of resurrection to be with Him. And another thing, we have a living hope. We've been made alive. We have, we're going to have an imperishable body. Now imagine that. Today we've got how much time do we spend on our bodies just supporting this structure? We spend a lot of time supporting this structure because it needs support. But one day we're going to have a body that's imperishable. We'll be able to eat. Jesus did eat. He did eat. And he could appear in rooms where the doors were closed. Well, that's kind of cool. And he said to the disciples, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. He didn't need blood anymore. We won't need the blood we have because in the blood, that's our life. If you take out the blood, you take out, well, then we won't need blood. So we'll have a body of some kind of flesh and bone, but there'll be no blood because eternal life will have completely changed our bodies. And things will be much better for our poor bodies at that time. So that's a hope we have, an imperishable body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And in verse 58, it's the last part, the last verse of the chapter, it says, therefore, and he's been going over the resurrection and different aspects of that prior to this. Therefore, well, it's an impetus for us to keep working for the Lord because there's a tendency in doing things for the Lord, you know, we get discouraged. But I always tell people, I say, you know, I get discouraged, we all get discouraged, but just think, here's Jeremiah, 43 years. Ministry, 43 years. At the end of his ministry, all that you've spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we're not going to listen. Well, that's, you know, you think you're depressed? Well, look at Jeremiah. 43 years, nobody listened. But, and another thing, I've never seen where someone's standing up talking and all the people said, you must die. Well, I said that to Jeremiah on a couple of occasions. So, it's not, there's always someone who's got it worse than us, but that's not what keeps us going. We have a hope. We're steadfast. We always keep working, and we need support of one another, but it's what undergirds everything is a resurrection from the dead. And Finally, in John 14, he says, "Behold, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." So one day, we'll leave and we'll go to be with Him. And it's not based on our attainment. It's not based on what we've done. It's based on who we have believed in and what He's done. And He did so much. Not only we have many benefits now, but the imperishable body and a place with Him. You know, He's fitted these bodies today that we have. He's fitted them for here on the earth. It works here. But when we're with the Lord, they don't work. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. These bodies wouldn't work well there for what we'll be doing. So we'll have an imperishable body, which is talked about in Corinthians 15. Imperishable. Immortal body never dies. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Who wants anything else? To believe in the Lord and to have eternal life, what else is there? I mean, you know, I think back to friends I've had over the years, different times, and at different times, I mean, they're looking good, they're rolling high, they're doing this and they're doing that. Well, some of those guys are dead now. And, you know, so what? What does it mean? And it's good to roll high, that's good. But if you don't, if a person doesn't have that hope, it's very depressing. Very depressing. So be encouraged that, you know, whatever happens in our lives, what's happening, going on, we have a hope. We've been born again to a living hope. And we've been delivered by so many things, from so many things, but we've gained so much of it. We've not only been delivered from things, we've gained so much because of what He has done. This morning, Lord, we thank You for Your resurrection and that we can say, He is not here, He is risen. We thank You that You're not in the grave anymore, You rose from the dead, and now You are our great High Priest interceding for us. Amen. That's all I have.